Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at the work of Mite Garagordabil, and I've been looking through all of this stuff, and I
oh my god,
it's impressive. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is a lot to take in, and so we're going to kind of go through this chronologically. And you know, I guess one of the first things that really stood out to me was that she was named by Stanford as one of the world's most influential researchers.
Yes. Multiple times.
Yes, multiple times. Not just a one-time thing.
Not just a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Like, this is somebody who is consistently putting out influential research.
Yeah, so let's go all the way back to 1992, to the beginning.
Okay.
And her extraordinary doctorate award.
So right out of the gate, she's already distinguishing herself. And even in those early days, her focus on play-based psychoeducational interventions for young children really hinted at what would become like a core theme in her work.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that social interaction and supportive environments really shape development.
So she's not just watching kids play, she's actually trying to figure out ways to use play to,
exactly,
to help these kids.
It's not just observation, it's intervention. She's designing and evaluating these interventions to see how play can actually be used as a tool for learning and growth.
So like active.
Yes, very active.
Active research.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's really interesting. And then just a few years later, in 1994, she wins a National Research Award for boosting pro-social behavior and creativity in elementary school children.
That's right.
So what did those interventions look like?
So her research often focused on interventions that you could integrate into existing classroom settings.
Okay.
So things like cooperative learning activities, conflict resolution strategies, methods for promoting empathy and understanding among students, stuff that teachers could actually use.
So not just, you know, be nice to each other, but
give them the skills.
Give them the tool.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then in 1998.
Another National Research Award, this time for developing a program to educate adolescents about human rights.
Human rights education for teenagers?
Yeah. I mean, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
That seems very important.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting because she emphasized going beyond just teaching about rights and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Her program focused on developing empathy, understanding, and critical thinking skills.
Okay.
So that young people could really engage in a meaningful dialogue around human rights issues.
So it's not just about memorizing facts.
Or
it's about
applying it.
Applying those things to real life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then 2003.
Yet another National Research Award for violence prevention.
Okay.
And I think this one is really interesting because she found that traditional approaches that focus just on punishing aggressors were often ineffective.
Right.
Like, you can't just punish your way out of violence.
Right.
Instead, she advocated for a more multifaceted approach that addressed individual behavior, social dynamics, and the overall school climate.
So looking at the bigger picture instead of just
exactly
an individual kid.
It's about creating that culture of respect and understanding.
Yeah.
And not just reacting to incidents as they pop up.
Yeah, okay.
So her research highlighted the importance of teaching social and emotional skills.
Yeah.
Like empathy, conflict resolution, and anger management.
Yeah, so giving them...
giving them tools.
Tools.
Yeah.
And then she writes a book.
Yes, in 2008.
A book.
Yeah, she wins the prestigious Allo Award for her book on cooperative and creative games for children.
Okay, so not just like hardcore research. This is for educators to actually use.
This is practical stuff.
Okay.
The book provides a wealth of practical resources and activities that teachers can use to foster social skills, creativity, and cooperation in young children.
So really getting down into the nitty-gritty of like how to do this.
Exactly.
Wow, okay. So we've got play-based interventions, pro-social behavior, violence prevention, human rights education.
And now a book for educators.
And then psychological assessment.
Yes, in 2010, she wins the TEA Award for developing a test to assess self-concept.
Okay, so now we're getting into
Now we're getting really into the psychology.
Really into psychology. Yeah. And self-concept is such a crucial aspect of development.
Huge.
So tell me about her approach to this. Did she just use like numbers and scores, or was it more?
Well, she definitely valued rigorous quantitative methods.
Yeah.
But she also recognized the importance of capturing the nuances of individual experiences.
Right.
So her approach to assessment often integrated qualitative data.
Okay.
Like interviews and observations.
So it's a more holistic
view.
Okay. And this kind of thinking continued in her later work too. Right?
Absolutely. Particularly her research on antisocial behavior in adolescents and young adults. This work earned her the Nicholas Isdaidos Award in 2012.
Okay.
And it really explored the complex interplay of sociodemographic factors, personal and family dynamics, and all these predictive variables in understanding the development of antisocial behavior.
So really digging deep.
Really digging deep.
Yeah. And then there's that Stanford ranking, yeah, which is just incredible to me.
Yeah, in 2020, she was ranked 35,665 out of almost 190,000 researchers who made the cut.
So top 20%.
Top 20% worldwide.
Of all researchers in the world.
That's amazing. So what do you think led to this global recognition?
I think it's a few things. Yeah. First, the sheer volume and quality of her research is incredible.
Like just looking at the list of publications.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
I mean, it's all high quality stuff.
Right. And highly cited.
Highly cited.
Yeah.
So she's not just writing for academics.
Rish.
Her work is actually shaping research.
Yeah.
And second, her research tackles issues that are relevant and impactful across cultures and contexts.
Right. So whether it's promoting pro-social behavior, preventing violence, or addressing the challenges of technology use.
It applies to everyone.
It applies to everybody.
Yeah.
And finally, I think her commitment to translating research into practice has also contributed to her influence.
Right.
She doesn't just study problems, she develops solutions.
Yeah.
That can be implemented in classrooms, homes, communities around the world.
Yeah, and that Stanford ranking, it wasn't a one-time thing.
No, it kept going. Mm. 2021, her ranking climbed even higher, placing her at 49,486 out of over 200,000 researchers.
Wow.
Still in the top 25%.
And then in 2022.
Even higher, 33,305 out of over 210,000 researchers.
Top 16%.
Top 16%.
So she's not slowing down.
Not at all.
That's pretty amazing.
It really is.
And this kind of leads into like another fascinating part of her career, which is her work in more specialized fields, like giftedness and clinical psychology with children and adolescents.
Absolutely.
So she got an award from the Association of Gifted of Cadiz in 2015. And I think it's really interesting because it challenges a lot of the assumptions about giftedness.
Right. It's not just about high IQ scores.
Right.
It's this complex interplay of cognitive, emotional, and social factors.
Right. So it's not just being smart.
No, it's the potential.
It's having the potential.
To excel.
And then also like the support to nurture that potential.
Exactly.
Okay. And that really resonates with her earlier work with play-based interventions and creating supportive environments.
It really does. It seems like there's a thread that runs through all of her research.
Yeah.
And then her work in clinical psychology, especially adolescent addiction to social media and the internet.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's struggling with that.
Everyone.
What did she find?
Well, she really dug into the psychological underpinnings of this digital dependence.
Okay.
She identified risk factors.
Okay.
Like impulsivity, low self-esteem, social dynamics, family environments that lack boundaries around technology use.
So it's not just the technology itself.
Yeah.
It's the person and the
context.
Yeah.
And she also recognized that this wasn't just a problem for teenagers.
Right.
Parents and educators also need to understand this.
Yeah.
So she developed assessment tools and intervention strategies to help identify and address problematic technology use in young people.
Wow.
Her approach emphasized individualized interventions.
Okay.
That took into account the specific needs and circumstances of each person.
So no one size fits all solution.
Right.
Wow. This is really eye-opening.
Yeah.
We've covered decades of research here.
We have.
It's incredible.
It is.
But there's still more.
So much more.
To make Gare Gordeaux-Bille's career.
There is so much more.
Yeah.
Where do we even go from here?
I know. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
So I think what I want to do is kind of look at how her work has been recognized by, you know, professional organizations and all those awards she's won.
Okay.
So one of the things that stood out to me is that she was named an honorary member by the Official College of Psychology of Gipuzkoa in 2023.
Yes, that's a really big deal.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. So the Official College of Psychology of Gipuzkoa is a professional body in Spain that upholds ethical standards and really promotes excellence in psychology.
So to be named an honorary member is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge honor.
Okay.
And it really speaks to Gare Gordeaux-Bille's impact on the field.
So it's not just about her research, it's about
It's about her contributions to the profession as a whole.
Okay.
And this recognition wasn't just about her past achievements.
Right.
It also acknowledged her ongoing work.
So not just a lifetime achievement award.
No, not at all.
It's about her continued work.
Exactly.
And then in 2024, she was inducted into the Spanish Academy of Psychology.
Yeah, this is like the Hall of Fame for Spanish psychologists.
Okay.
Membership is by invitation only.
Wow.
And it's reserved for those who have made truly exceptional contributions to the field.
That's incredible.
It is.
And, you know, it's not just about winning awards. It's about, like, shaping the field and inspiring other people.
Yeah. It's about leaving a lasting legacy.
And her impact goes beyond Spain, too. Oh,
absolutely. Remember those Stanford rankings?
Right. 2020,
2021, 2022? Mm-hmm. She was consistently ranked among the top researchers in the world.
Did that continue?
Oh, it did.
Okay.
In 2023, her ranking climbed even higher. To 20,983 out of over 220,000 researchers.
Top 10%.
Top 10% globally.
Wow.
And then in 2024, 15,104 out of over 230,000 researchers.
Now she's still climbing.
Still climbing.
That's amazing.
It really is. It speaks to the breadth and depth of her work.
Yeah, and her research has been translated into so many languages.
It has.
And she's given keynote speeches at international conferences, and she's cited by researchers all over the world.
Yeah, her work really transcends borders.
It does.
Because she's tackling issues that resonate with everyone.
Yeah, like what?
Well, one thing that comes up again and again in her work is this emphasis on understanding the interplay between individual development and social context.
Okay.
She recognizes that human behavior isn't shaped in a vacuum. It's deeply influenced by our relationships, our environment, and the broader societal structures around us.
So it's not just about the individual, it's about the whole...
The whole picture.
Okay.
And this focus on social context is really evident in her work on pro-social behavior and violence prevention.
Okay.
She argues that fostering positive social interactions and creating supportive environments is essential for promoting well-being and reducing aggression and violence.
Okay.
So it's not just about teaching individuals how to behave.
Right.
It's about creating a culture that supports those positive interactions.
Yes. And she's done so much research on that.
Years of research.
Developing and testing interventions.
Exactly.
So it's not just theoretical.
It's practical.
It's practical.
Yeah.
And her work on human rights education also emphasizes that interconnectedness, right?
It does.
Like we're all in this together.
We are.
And she really stresses the importance of developing empathy, understanding, and a sense of responsibility for others.
Especially in today's world.
Yeah, where everything feels so...
Divided.
Divided.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears for a second.
Okay.
And talk about her work on intellectual giftedness.
Okay.
What insights did she bring to that field?
So Garrett Gordabiel's work on giftedness challenges a lot of the traditional assumptions about high-achieving individuals.
Okay.
She argues that giftedness isn't just about intelligence or academic performance,
right,
but about a complex interplay of cognitive, emotional, and social factors.
So not just being smart, but having the support.
Exactly.
To develop your potential.
Exactly. And that's where the social context comes in again.
Right.
She stresses the importance of creating supportive environments.
Yeah.
That nurture the unique needs and talents of gifted individuals.
So maybe those cooperative and creative games she developed.
Maybe.
Could be applied to gifted learners too.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Her work on cooperative learning and her focus on creativity could definitely be adapted for gifted students.
It all seems connected.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, to her core principles.
Yeah.
Social interaction, emotional development, and supportive environments.
Exactly.
It's a powerful framework.
It is.
That's what makes her research so impactful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not just about isolated findings.
Right.
It's about this cohesive vision for promoting human flourishing.
Yeah.
Through education psychology and a deep understanding of the human experience.
I'm really blown away by all of this.
Me too.
But I'm eager to learn more about her work in clinical psychology.
Okay.
Especially her research on that adolescent addiction to social media and the internet.
Yeah, that's where her work becomes especially relevant to today's digital age.
Yeah, it's a little scary, but I'm ready to face those digital demons.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so we're back.
Back again.
And ready to kind of wrap up this deep dive into Metagorga Gordabiel's work.
Yeah, it's been a journey.
It has been a journey. We've looked at all sorts of things.
So many different areas.
From pro-social behavior.
To violence prevention.
Giftedness.
Digital addiction.
Human rights education.
And she's received so much recognition for it.
She has.
Honorary member of the Official College of Psychology of Gipuzkoa.
Right.
inducted into the Spanish Academy of Psychology.
And consistently ranked as one of the top researchers in the world.
By Stanford, no less.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It really is. But you know what really stands out to me?
What's that?
Is how she's bridged that gap between research and real-world application.
Yeah, she doesn't just study things.
Right.
She wants to make a difference.
Exactly.
And I think one area where we really see that is in education.
Education, yeah, absolutely.
So we touched on her book for educators.
Mm-hmm.
But how else has her work influenced education?
Well, I think Gerger Gordabil really sees education as a powerful tool for social change.
Okay.
She believes that schools can be places where we foster pro-social behavior.
Right.
Promote human rights.
And nurture every child's potential.
Exactly.
That's a big vision.
It is.
So how does that vision translate into practice?
We'll take her research on pro-social behavior and violence prevention, for example.
Okay.
That's led to programs that are being used in schools all over the world.
Wow.
These programs focus on creating a positive school climate where empathy, respect, and conflict resolution are key.
So not just punishing bad behavior.
No, it's about preventing it in the first place.
By creating a supportive environment.
Exactly.
And her work on human rights education takes a similar approach.
Yeah, she wants to see human rights principles integrated into the entire curriculum.
From kindergarten to college.
Exactly.
Wow.
Empowering students to be active and engaged citizens.
And she gives teachers the tools to do this.
She does. She doesn't just talk about it.
Right.
She provides practical strategies.
That's great. And it goes beyond those specific topics, too.
It does.
Like, she's also a big advocate for better teacher training.
Mm-hmm. Teacher training that emphasizes child development pedagogy and inclusive learning environments.
Yeah, so teachers are really equipped to support all students.
That's the goal.
It's amazing how she brings everything together. The research, the practice, the policy.
It's all connected.
And it's all aimed at making things better for kids.
That's what it's all about.
It's pretty inspiring.
It is.
So we started with this list of achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone on this incredible journey.
Through a whole world of research.
And innovation.
And impact.
And I feel like we've only just scratched the surface.
There's always more to learn.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It sparks our curiosity.
And opens up new avenues for exploration.
So to all our listeners out there,
keep digging.
Keep exploring Maid Gerger Gordabil's work.
Read her books.
Learn from her insights.
And let's all work together.
To make a positive impact.
On the world.
Well, that's it for this deep dive.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.